So next, Matthew Garnett, or Matthew Garnett, is a research scientist with the New York State Department of Health Bureau of Occupational Health and Injury Prevention. Mr. Garnett has worked in injury surveillance for 2 years and has an MPH from Columbia University. And for those of you who have been participating on the CSTE, CDC, ICD-10-CM transition work group, you've heard him present as well as seen some of his analyzed data, which has been very helpful to all of us. Matthew?
Cool. So on with pedestrian palooza here. So I will be presenting on the surveillance of pedestrian injuries in high-risk municipalities using the New York State Crash Outcome Data Evaluation System. First off, talking about pedestrian injury prevention activities in New York, we were designated by the Federal Highway Administration as a pedestrian-focused state with a high number of pedestrian deaths. And as a result, much of our prevention activities focus around the New York State Pedestrian Safety Action Plan, which was created to identify the current safety conditions and recommend engineering, education, and enforcement countermeasures to be accomplished over 5 years and improve pedestrian safety and decrease morbidity and mortality. So the Pedestrian Safety Action Plan looks at 20 focus communities in New York State, excluding New York City. As a previous speaker, Casey, mentioned, New York City has been doing its own pedestrian activities centering around Vision Zero. It's been ongoing for many years, and as far as I know, they've been seeing some pretty good success. However, this is at the state level, so also keep in mind that from the analysis of this project, we excluded New York City. So this is the rest of the state, everywhere else in New York State. Anyway, this pedestrian safety action plan involves multiple agencies, including the Department of Motor Vehicles, us at the Department of Health, the New York State Police, Department of Transportation, and our Governor's Highway Traffic Safety Committee. It provides $110 million over 5 years through 2020, and that allocates money to engineering of streets, education to both pedestrians and drivers, and money for enforcement activities for local law enforcement and state police. So I'm going to skip these. Michael talked mostly about the Crash Outcome Data Evaluation System, which is the data set that I used for these analyses. Again, it's a probabilistically linked data set that brings together a bunch of crash variables collected by police and the Department of Motor Vehicles and hospital and emergency department treatment data using a Bayesian linkage model. So for the study design, we used codes to identify the five highest risk areas within the state. And we compared these higher risk areas with lower risk pedestrian crash areas, again excluding New York City, to examine driver and pedestrian demographics, behaviors, and environments. So we considered a lot of things. I'm not going to present on all of them. I'm going to present on the ones that were significant and the ones that we cared about. They're not always the same. One of the things to keep in mind is we compared the high-risk and low-risk areas. And just because something isn't significant doesn't mean it's not a problem. It just means it's a problem everywhere. The goal of this is to try and identify things that make these high-risk areas high-risk and what can we do in these high-risk areas in terms of prevention. So for our findings, I just ran through all that. So the five high-risk areas we found were Hempstead, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, and Yonkers, and these were all identified in the report as well as focus communities. I'm sorry? Yeah, basically. Basically, the population centers. There are a couple cities that did not make the cut here, but... No, these are cities. These are not metropolitan areas. However... Yeah, so... looking at the distribution here, Buffalo had the lowest, had lower percentages of people requiring treatment, while Rochester had higher percentages of people needing treatment in comparison to the rest of the state. So that's kind of interesting, suggesting that some of the pedestrian injuries are worse in some places and not as bad in others. Also, interestingly, if you look at the deaths, there are very few deaths in these areas, even though they account for a decent percentage of the rest of state pedestrian hits. And we think this is largely because of access to trauma centers and access to hospitals. Again, these are more urban areas, so theoretically response times from EMS are going to be quicker. So looking at pedestrian injury demographics, specifically at age, all the high-risk areas had a lower mean age than the rest of the state, and there are major differences in rate by the high-risk area. So for example, Syracuse had the highest rates among 5 to 9-year-olds and 10 to 14-year-olds. For Rochester, it was 15 to 19-year-olds. For Buffalo, it was 15 to 19-year-olds and 20 to 24-year-olds. And for Yonkers, there was generally a spike 10 through 24-year-olds. So it's different by age, by region. Looking at the gender of the pedestrians, there were generally more males than females hit, with the exception of Yonkers, where it was a 50-50 split, and the highest disparity was in Rochester, where it was 60% males and 40% females. Looking at the age, there was a significant difference, and there were also significant differences by race. Generally speaking, the high-risk areas had lower numbers of white, non-Hispanic, and were just generally more diverse. Gender and work-relatedness were not significant. Looking at driver demographics, they were older than the pedestrians that they were hit. Mostly, again, this goes back to what the previous speaker said about kids can't drive, or they shouldn't be driving. And they were, in these high-risk areas, were generally younger than the rest of the state, with the exception of Hempstead, where drivers who were 65 and older had the highest rates. And again, looking at driver demographics, all areas had more male drivers at the helm. And looking at the car actions, in Buffalo, 57% of drivers were going straight ahead compared to the rest of the state where it was only 47. These high-risk areas generally seem to have more head-on, like straight-ahead crashes with pedestrians. And there were also some differences in terms of left turns, particularly for Yonkers, where there were 53% of the pedestrian hits involved the left turn compared to the rest of the state, which was 22. So looking at the driver demographics and the specific car type used, these are column percentages, and the S stands for suppressed. We generally suppress our hospital data if it's under 6. The cars seemed more likely in the high-risk areas to hit people and subsequently require treatment, maybe not surprisingly because low-risk rest of the state areas are more rural. SUVs, pickup trucks were more likely to be responsible there. But there was no difference between needing hospital treatment by vehicle for the high-risk versus low-risk areas when pooled or stratified. looking at pedestrian behaviors, different variations of crossing the street played a big role. That was not surprising to us. Crossing the street, crossing against a signal, crossing with a signal, at a crosswalk, being in the roadway, meaning not on the sidewalk or not on the grass. So physically being in the car space, and playing in the roadway was also significant, but that was very tiny numbers. In terms of driver behaviors, we were surprised to see that there were not a lot of things that were significant. We felt that it was important to point out that speeding and alcohol and drug relatedness was not, did not stand out in between these high risk and low risk areas, but drivers who failed to yield did play a larger role in high risk areas. In terms of seasonality and weather, for both high risk and low risk areas, there were higher percentages of pedestrians being hit in the fall, but that was more pronounced for the rest of the state compared to the high risk areas. And for weather, precipitation occurring seemed to play a big role. Even though we looked at the specific types of precipitation, so whether it was snowing or raining, and that seemed to not make too much of a difference. In terms of the roadway characteristics, the physical shape of the road, whether it was on an incline or on a curve, seemed to play more of a role in the rest of state / low risk areas, while being at an intersection and specifically at a traffic light were more important in high risk areas. So then we did some logistic regression. These are factors associated with high risk versus low risk areas. We controlled for gender and age, which were both significant, and we saw that high risk areas were associated with increased odds of requiring inpatient care, being hit during the spring, precipitation occurring, and lighting conditions, as well as crossing the street. And we built our model in thinking about the correlation of variables, so not everything that we looked at could just be thrown in there. We had to pick and choose. Then we did a second regression looking at the factors predictive of hospital treatment, specifically in high-risk areas. There, gender and age was not significant, but pedestrian fault led to higher risks for needing hospital treatment. And I should have prefaced this, hospital treatment, I mean both being treated in an ED and hospitalization. Yielding, it being a yielding related crash was also a factor, and pedestrians not being on the roadway versus in the roadway. So crashes where the car jumped the curve and it's not necessarily the pedestrian's fault. Not necessarily. So in conclusion, not all areas across New York State face the same pedestrian problems. Demographics, behaviors, and environments differ between different risk areas. High-risk areas are associated with increased inpatient visits, and environmental factors play a larger role, including daylight, season, and precipitation occurring. Crashes that result in hospitalization in high-risk areas are more related to pedestrian actions themselves. In terms of our next steps, this is kind of precursor work to outreach we're going to be doing. Our programmatic people are really interested in either creating fact sheets, or they really want dashboards. So that'll be our next new buzzword of public health, dashboards. We'll be working on those with them. The end. Oh, and thank you very much to our funders, the CDC Core of State Violence and Injury Prevention Program, and the New York State Governor's Traffic Safety Committee. The end. Pedestrian injuries at night.